You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Melissa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, where weekends always start early. And as a reminder to listen to the show on the go, hey, you just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store, and you can listen on any computer or smart device by going to StreamYSR.com. That's StreamYSR.com. Normal data rates apply. We have got another outstanding lineup coming your way over the next 2 hours. NBA, college basketball talk, and college football. My point man tonight that's going to kick off our show, he is truly one of the best in the business. He is a Big E favorite, the senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, and you can also listen to him on 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, James.
Hey, Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, and I look forward to getting that picture with you in that little Christmas, Santa outfit. That's going to be good. So.
Oh, speaking of Santa, I think Santa has arrived early. Our Sooners advance to the college football playoffs and are going to face the Clemson Tigers. That's going to be a dandy. I mean, did you think this is how the script was going to play out ultimately?
Well, I thought they would be in the Final Four. Oklahoma, without question, in my opinion, was one of the top teams in college football. The question was, where would they be seated, especially with the Big 12 not playing a championship game and Oklahoma not playing on that final weekend in December? Now, Oklahoma did all they could. They played their schedule, and after the bump in the road at Texas, they played as well as anybody in college football, in my opinion, the best among anybody in college football. And Baker Mayfield emerged as one of the best players in college football, Heisman Trophy notwithstanding. So, you know, when you look at this team and you thought about, okay, they're going to be in the Final Four, where are they going to be? They were ranked third, for two consecutive weeks, and they pounded Baylor. Well, they didn't pound Baylor, but they beat Baylor on the road. Mm-hmm. And they pounded Oklahoma State on the road, and that was two teams ranked in the top 11, 12 in the country. So I felt like Oklahoma was definitely going to be in the Final Four. And the key question was, where were they going to be seated? And they got passed up by Michigan State, which beat Iowa in the Big Ten championship game with an amazing 22-play drive and, all the heroics that went into that game for Michigan State to win that. But even though they had that game, in my opinion, they should not have jumped the Sooners, but they did. But the Sooners don't care. They're in the tournament. They're in the Final Four. They'll take on Clemson in Miami, and that's maybe a disappointing thing to a lot of Sooner fans. I don't think the team cares or the coaches care. But the fans, and I think a lot of the media, were hoping that they were going to be in Dallas. That would have helped a lot of people's budgets and things like that.
Sure.
And now you got to try to, you're an optimist. If you're an Oklahoma fan, you believe your team can beat anybody. So you make plans for two games, and that gets pretty expensive, but you got to break the bank or break out a new credit card or do what you got to do. It's not every day you're in this position.
Hey, the senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We are talking about the Oklahoma Sooners. They advanced to the college football playoffs in its second year, and you talk about revenge being a great motivator, the opportunity for the Sooners to get it right after truly, James, I'm going to go easy here, but I mean, it really was a humiliating loss against the Clemson Tigers last year in that Russell Athletic Bowl, 40-6 beat down, and you know that's got to be at the forefront of these players' minds.
Well, you know, it might be, and I think in general thinking, a lot of people would assume that, and I've had other media say it's one of the key factors. I guess every time I talk to a player at OU or a coach at OU, they make it sound like that has nothing to do with this, that this is a totally different deal. This team is so different than the one that played last year. Last year you're playing with an injured quarterback. You don't have Sterling Shepard. You're coming off that demoralizing loss to OSU. You had a lot of negative things going on last year, and that was a beatdown. But this team has moved on, in my opinion. Now, when you get into the game, Oklahoma seems to be on a revenge tour, don't they? They lost Oklahoma State last year. They won that game. They lost to Baylor last year. They won that game. They lost to TCU. They won that game. They had a marquee win on the road at Tennessee. So, you know, I think in some ways, somewhere down in the deep fabric of it, yeah, I think revenge is a factor, but this is such a big deal, and this is not a bowl game. This is a business trip. I've had so many players and coaches tell me at OU this has an entirely different feel than a bowl game, but I just don't think revenge is the major factor. I think it's just win, baby. How do we win this year? How do we have this team that matches up with that team? Neither team is the same as it was last year, because Watson's at quarterback. He didn't play last year. And I know that Brent Venables, who's a good friend of mine, has had to change that entire work with that defense because he lost so many starters. And look, man, they're seventh in the country this year, so he's doing another great job. But his best friend and one of his best friends, Mike Stoops, he's doing a great job on the counterpart on the other side as Oklahoma in a more offensive conference has really put together some good defensive numbers and is playing some great defense. So I think they're different teams than they were last year, and I don't get the sense that revenge is that big of a factor. Now, I've got some guys will tell me that play sports, it's always a factor, but this is such a different deal going to the semifinals, into the Final Four, than just playing in a bowl game. I don't sense it's that big of a deal.
Well, if you're one of those players, though, James, and you didn't play your best and give your best performance, that's got to be chewing on you for, you know, 12 months out of the year, and you want to get it right. I mean, you want to play with some more pride, right?
Yeah, but that's because I want to win in the semifinal, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's more important to me than playing in the semifinal and winning in the semifinal than playing Clemson. I'd feel the same way if I was in Alabama. I just want to win. I got a chance to win the national title now.
Mm-hmm.
That supersedes everything else.
Yeah.
And I guess if OU can use that, you know, revenge, I just don't get it talking to them. I don't sense that they're saying that talking to them. I just don't get that feel that it is. And I understand where you're coming from, E. More people will side with you than me, and I got it. But I cover this team every day, and I haven't had one guy bring up revenge on his own to me that the media didn't ask about. And usually if the revenge was such a forefront thing and I was asking them questions, they would bring it up and say, man, I want to get back after last year and that kind of thing. But the only time they talk about last year is when the media asked them about it. So I don't think it's a major thing. I think the semifinals, the chance to win a national title again, supersedes everything, and they could care less who they're playing. They happen to be playing the number one team, Clemson. Okay, cool. And they, you know, from one standpoint, I think Oklahoma looks at it as an advantage because Clemson's running whatever Clemson's running, and so they're not they haven't changed much. And Oklahoma had a chance to play those schemes last year. It's just Oklahoma's got better players this year to play against them.
The college football conversation continues with senior writer OU Insider James Hale right after this quick timeout.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The Big E.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are zeroing in on the Oklahoma Sooners, and we've invited back senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale. You always post some great tweets. So just for some of our newer listeners, I mean, that have perhaps they haven't followed the Sooners that closely, recap why Oklahoma you know, was only able to put up, what, 6 points on the board last year?
Trevor Knight, first of all, was hurt. Trevor Knight was coming off that scary injury. Remember when he was paralyzed for, you know, 25 seconds or so? And, you know, he got the clearance to come back. There was some debate with, you know, within the administration whether they should let him play football again. Trevor insisted on playing. I think he even signed a waiver, you know, on playing. But he wasn't right. You know, he just didn't look like the same guy. And he'd had an up-and-down year anyway. And that was one problem. The other problem was Sterling Shepard wasn't out there. And nobody else really stepped up to take his place last year. But part of that was because they weren't getting great quarterback play either. Samaje Perine had an ankle injury rolling into that. And then the decision to punt to Tyreek Hill, you know, and Oklahoma State winning that game. That was a tragic loss for OU. Coach Stoops took blame for it for the decision to punt the ball again. But this team didn't cover the punt either. You had some of their key players just racing by the punt return guy. The whole thing was screwed up. And to lose the game that way, when they had been in control of it the whole way, just sucked the wind out of the sails. And OU didn't really want to be there. I'm not saying they didn't try. I'm not saying they didn't good effort. But when you're not emotionally totally checked in any kind of athletic event, you see what happens. And maybe Ronda Rousey ran into that against Hall of Fame a little bit.
Right.
You know, if you're not totally checked in,
yeah,
no matter how good you are, you're going to lose. And I think there were too many things that matched up with Oklahoma. And Clemson was on point for this game. They were great in this game. As a matter of fact, because of that game, I picked Clemson to be in the Final Four at the beginning of the year, and here they are. I didn't know if they'd go undefeated, but they are undefeated. And Watson is amazing at quarterback.
Yeah. Well, in many ways, that game was, what would you say, a blessing in disguise? Because really, that's where Bob Stoops had to take a hard look at his program, and he had to make some very tough decisions.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. You know, he made changes. He fired, you know, a guy that was like a son to him, and Josh Heupel, his national championship quarterback, fired him as the offensive coordinator, fired one of his best friends in Jay Norvell, went out and went back to his first early days and said, I've got to find a Mike Leach disciple, a guy that knows how to run this air raid. And he brought in Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln convinced him, hey, I know how to run the football. I'm more like Dana Holgorsen, who's a good friend of Lincoln's, than maybe Mike at this point. But I can take advantage of Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon and Alex Ross and all those guys. Just let me go to work here and come up with some things, but I can do it. And then on the defensive side, bringing in Kerry Cooks, moving Mike Stoops to the press box, making him more of the CEO of the defense, and bringing in Kerry Cooks from Notre Dame to run the secondary. And here's one of the biggest things.
Mm-hmm.
The whole secondary now meets in one room. What Oklahoma's done the last few years, the corners met in one room, the safeties met in one room. And to be honest, it looked like Oklahoma didn't have great communication the last couple of years trying to play some of these spread teams. This year, everybody looks on point, and I think the move of Stephen Parker to safety and putting Will Johnson in at the nickelback spot has really solidified the secondary, and all those changes have really worked out. Cale Gundy also moved to inside receivers. He was one of, I think, the best running back coach in the country. He's also been named assistant head coach, because I think in the grand scheme of things, you don't think Lincoln Riley's going to be there for 2 or 3 years. And so what they do, they set it up and they put it, you know, they put things in a good spot for Cale to step in and be the next guy as the OC whenever Lincoln gets that head coaching job.
Well, we talk about the offensive strides that the Sooners have made. Take me back to like the first time when you met Lincoln Riley. Did you believe that he could make the Sooners a dominant offensive team? I mean, here he was just awarded with being the most outstanding assistant coach in college football.
Yeah, he won the Burlesworth Award. The Broyles Award, I'm sorry. It was,
yes.
Baker Mayfield that won the Burlesworth Award. They won so many awards, I'm getting them all confused. they deserve them, too. The first time I met Lincoln Riley, I thought he was one of the coolest dudes I've ever met. He's from Mule Shoe, Texas, and that's a little small town, and he has a lot of Mule Shoe in him. But he can dress up and look good, too. He loves his wife dearly, talks about her, loves his daughter. You know, he's just that kind of homespun guy. But, man, he is confident. And he is a guy that believes in what he's doing, what his coaches. He thinks that He thinks if everybody gets on board, that they will not be stopped. Even when they score 60, he'll go, you know what? We left 17 out there. We should have had 21 more. He's so confident, but yet it's not cocky. It's country humble, and boy, he's really humble at how he looks at things and how he presents things. And I think that's been one of the most beautiful things about him and how he brings things to the table. He's been wonderful, and yes, the first day I met him, I got the impression that he felt he was going to have the best offense in college football. Now, whether or not you really think it is.
Well, break down the Heisman. Was Baker Mayfield, was he snubbed?
My opinion, he was. You know, we're probably going to find out he's fourth or fifth in the voting, but I talked to Steve Owens about this, who won the Heisman Trophy in 1969. He said, James, the way they do it now, you know, if they don't have enough votes between the third and the fourth guy that are comparable or close, they just don't bring them all in. He goes, I don't know if it's because of finances. He goes, heck, I would have told him I'll pay for Baker's trip if they wanted to. But, you know, he thinks Baker's in the top four or five, and I do too. And I think that what people have missed out on is I don't think there's been a player in college football this year that's meant as much to their football team as Baker Mayfield has meant to Oklahoma. I know Watson has been great, and Clemson's undefeated. I got it. I love McCaffrey. He can play on my football team any day. I think he's amazing at Stanford, and I'm a Derrick Henry fan, too. Oklahoma couldn't tackle him 2 years ago, and it seems like nobody can tackle him this year either. So He's been tremendous. You know, all those guys are really good. Did they really have more of an impact on their football team than Mayfield did? And Mayfield's stats are very comparable to all those guys. So, you know, the Big 12 honored him as the Offensive Player of the Year. That's deserving, and he'll be back next year. Of course, so will Watson, so will McCaffrey. So it's going to be interesting as they move forward, but I really think Baker should be in New York. The good thing is he's not. That means he's back here in Norman. That means he's throwing with his guys. He's helping them in some off-season work or bowl prep as they get ready. So the good news is that he can get ready for finals, study for those, get those out of the way, and really prep for that semifinal game now.
Okay, who do you think is going to win the Heisman this year?
I'm going back and forth between McCaffrey and Henry. I think McCaffrey had just a tremendous season. He's so versatile. I love the way he plays the game. I love the fact against Notre Dame, his kick return helped set some things up. You know, he had some big plays. I just think he's a wonderful player. Henry had all the momentum at the start of the week. I think McCaffrey is closing some ground. It's going to be interesting to see, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go with Henry over McCaffrey with Watson third.
Well, Sam Bradford was the last Oklahoman to win the Heisman in 2008. You think Baker Mayfield, he's got a good shot next year, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he does. But, you know, Watson's going to be back, And so is McCaffrey, and who else is going to emerge? This has become a trophy, whether that's right or wrong, that doesn't matter if you're a true freshman. It doesn't matter where you're from or what you're doing. It's the momentum. It's the publicity swing that gets behind you. It's in some ways, it's all the wrong reasons why you should win the Heisman, right? You know, but that's the way it's become. But I think Baker, and if you meet Baker, when you do meet Baker, when anybody meets Baker, you're going to love him. So his personality is going to win you over. He's going to have that going for him, and Oklahoma should be good again next year.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. James Hale has been with us to kick off tonight's show right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is the senior writer with OU Insider. Go to OUinsider.com, and you can always listen to him on KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner, James, safe travels, and I look forward to a recap after the Sooners win the national championship, right?
Hey, Boomer Sooner E, and call anytime, and happy holidays to you.
You bet. Much more straight ahead right here in hour number one at YSR.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, where we always deliver the biggest and the very best in sports. It is time to buckle up because in our next segment, it is time to hit the hardwood. We're going to talk some college basketball We're going to head out to the SEC and shine the spotlight on the Alabama Crimson Tide and first-year head coach Avery Johnson. And all I can say is roll Tide, because they are currently 5-2 with wins over, at the time, two nationally ranked opponents in Wichita State and Notre Dame, and they have currently won three straight. They face another quality opponent on Sunday with the Clemson Tigers. They're going to head to Greenville, South Carolina. The Clemson Tigers are currently 6-2. And so right now, it is an honor to have joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, that is the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Coach Avery Johnson. Good evening, Coach.
Good evening. How's it going?
Hey, it's great. All is good here in Houston, Texas. And we want to start off by congratulating you on an amazing job in your first year. Alabama has really impressed. You guys are off to a strong start. What has been the key or the formula to this early season success, Avery?
Well, the main thing is our players have worked awfully hard, and our coaching staff has, you know, worked with these, with the guys, you know, starting back in the summertime, you know, when we started laying the groundwork for this season, and whether, you know, with individual workouts, and, you know, as time moved on with all of the different NCAA rules, when we could have team workouts, you know, everybody's just kind of bought in to the vision of our team and our style of play. And so fortunately, our guys have just, you know, played at a high level on both ends of the floor. And you know, we've beaten some really good teams, and have been there in some of the other games, like against Xavier. You know, we're only down by 3 points at the half, and yeah, they ended up having a great second half against us, and now they're ranked 15 in the country. So I just think it's been full cooperation in terms of the buy-in from all of our players, and we just got a great family environment here at Alabama.
Well, Coach, how have you been able to get these guys to adapt to your system so quickly? I mean, you look at your record, you're 5-2 on the season, and five of your seven games have been played away from Tuscaloosa. I mean, you got some guys that are road warriors.
Yeah, the main thing is, you know, our guys are mentally tough. We're not the most talented team in the league. I think we were picked to, I think we were ranked 150th in the country in all of the preseason polls, and we were picked to come in eighth in our recent tournament in Orlando, and we finished, you know, I guess tied for second or whatever with a 2-1 record. But the main thing is our guys have shown mental and physical toughness. They play with the next play mentality. Mm-hmm. Next play, next point. If we make a mistake, we're on to the next play. They don't drop their heads. They're very good in terms of being teammates. So we got good chemistry on our team. We think we have a strong bond, and we're going to need it, because as we move into this game against Clemson, you know, a terrific ACC team, and then we start getting into SEC play, we're going to have to be mentally tough each and every night.
You know, let's pull back the curtain on the Crimson Tide. I think back to last year, 19-15, 8-10 in the SEC in the 2014-2015 season. As a coach coming in, this is your first season, what is the key? I mean, how do you get to maximize the potential on your roster and get inside these guys' heads and hearts?
Well, I think the main thing is you try to share with them that you care more about them than winning. You know, you care about them as students, as human beings. You care about their families. And I think once they feel that you really want what's best for them, it's much easier to work with them. And then, you know, just on the court, it's showing them that if they play individual selfish basketball, we're not going to have any success. But if you play team basketball, cover for each other on both ends of the floor, we'll have a chance to have some fun this year. So far, so good. We're not a perfect team, but we're a hard-working team, and that's what's been a joy to coach and been very gratifying for me.
Well, the Crimson Tide certainly are playing team basketball, and they've made a ton of strides in a short period of time. I have to ask you, I mean, Coach, are you a bit surprised by this early season success?
A little bit, you know, but at the same time, we have expectations for our team. We're picked to come in 13th in the SEC this year out of 14 teams. So there's not a lot of support for our roster, you know, in terms of the media. But we know who we are. We feel we can upset some people this year like we've already done. And we hope that we continue to fly under the radar a little bit. But at the same time, the word's getting out that the University of Alabama is really serious about basketball, not just football, but they're serious about basketball. They went and made a bold move by hiring an NBA coach. We have a lot of resources in terms of upgrading our facilities and all of the things we're doing around here. So it's an exciting time here on campus as it relates to not only football but basketball.
Alabama Crimson Tide head men's basketball coach Avery Johnson is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can follow Avery Johnson on Twitter at CoachAvery6 and also our show at E Radio Sports. You just mentioned the NBA. I have to ask you this. I mean, what's the transition been like for you? I mean, you've had a very successful career in the NBA, 4 years with Dallas, 2 seasons with the Brooklyn Nets. What's the transition been like going from the NBA to the college level?
Oh, it's been great. You know, I get a chance to go and visit some of my kids in their classrooms and just get a chance to meet a lot of professors here on campus. You know, living in Tuscaloosa is just a great college town.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to know a lot of the other coaches from the other sports and going to support their events. I've been to soccer matches. I've been to tennis matches. I've been to softball games. And and here in the fall, I guess I'll get a chance to go watch gymnastics. And obviously, I've been to football and baseball game. So it's just been very exciting being here on campus, and the transition has been pretty seamless, and it's just because of the great support that the university has given us, and I can't say anything more about how we love it here in Tuscaloosa.
You know, Avery, a moment ago you were sharing just what your blueprint for success has been and how you're creating this winning culture. You were talking about, you know, connecting with your players. You value them. You love them. That builds, you know, trust, togetherness. So tell us about your team. I want to hear about Shannon Hale. I understand he's your leading scorer at 13 points per game, and he is providing some significant play and production.
Yeah, Shannon Hale's been great. You know, he was coming off season surgery this summer, and we finally got him healthy here in the fall, and he's a guy that we lean on a lot for offense and spacing the floor. And so he's gotten stronger. He's in great shape. He said his body feels as good as it's felt in the last 2 years. He's stronger. His body fat's down. He's lifting, you know, more in the weight room. And so we love what he's doing for us and his leadership. You know, he's a junior, so we need his leadership along with guys like Jimmy Taylor and Rednor Bazahan. You know, a lot of those guys. Arthur Edwards transferred in, and he's a fifth-year guy. So and we got a lot of young guys playing. So we need everybody to have all hands on deck, as they say, and we got to play as a team, and Shannon is a big reason why we're playing some pretty good basketball.
You know, Avery, you said you don't have the perfect team, so I got to ask you, I mean, what's the biggest issue you must address? Because here you were hired, what, 8 months ago, back in April. You inherited a well-stocked front court, but the perimeter, what, you guys lacked firepower. I mean, how are you offensively? Is that the biggest issue?
Yeah, that's right now. I think our offense still has ways to go. We got to take better care of the ball. We got to make our open shots, set better screens, and then we got to rebound. You know, we're like minus 20 on the year in terms of rebounding. So we got to do a better job of going to the offensive glass, but also rebounding on the defensive end. So, you know, if we can do those things, you know, we'll continue to get better.
Who has been your top newcomer this season?
Wow. I would say Dejon Ingram. Our starting point guard who, you know, unfortunately just had season-ending ankle surgery today. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, he's basically a triple-double waiting to happen. You know, 6'6", 210 pounds, and multi-skilled and really can see the floor. So, you know, he's been a nice addition to our team to go with some of our other freshmen, Brandon Austin and Dante Hall.
You know, Alabama is known as a football school, and as the new head coach, I mean, how do you create your own identity so that you're not in the shadows of your football program and that you stand alone and have your own unique value? I mean, is that a challenge trying to create that awareness and that visibility?
You know, and I think sometimes we spend too much time trying to create that, whereas we've done a good job of leveraging the success of football. We've partnered with football, and Nick Saban and his staff helps us recruit. We help them recruit. We support one another. So, but at the same time, you know, because of what the university did by going outside the box, hiring an NBA coach from the NBA ranks, they're showing that they are serious about basketball. And the way we travel, the way, you know, like I said, renovating our facilities and all the upgrades that we have now, you know, it's more they're walking the talk, and they're showing people that basketball is not a afterthought sport here at the university.
You know, you talked about, Avery, just what a special place the University of Alabama is, and to be a part of this culture. I mean, what's it like spending time, you know, even around a Nick Saban, an elite coach? I mean, has he offered any advice to kind of help you out and to get situated?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we've helped each other. And, you know, we spent some time together. You know, when I first got hired here, April 8, I had a chance to go and talk to the entire team. And so Coach Saban has welcomed me to the Alabama Crimson Tide family. He's been very supportive. And we've been very supportive of football.
And I know your fingers are crossed for Derrick Henry, so a finalist for the Heisman, right?
Yes, he's got my vote. He had my vote 6 weeks ago. So hopefully he'll win it, and hopefully we'll have a terrific game against Michigan State on New Year's Eve in Dallas and have a chance to win the national championship, because that'll be great for everybody on campus.
We're getting ready to run out of time with our very special guest, Avery Johnson, Alabama's Crimson Tide head men's basketball coach. And I said a moment ago, you were introduced as Alabama's 20th head men's coach back in April. You've had this incredible NBA career, led the San Antonio Spurs to the 1999 NBA title, and in fact, you also were named the 2006 NBA Coach of the Year. What has the past 8 months been like for you and the lovely First Lady of the Crimson Tide, of course, Cassandra Johnson?
Oh, it's been great. She's loved being a team mom, and you know, having a chance to interact with the guys, and they definitely love her cooking. So she's you know, she's enjoying it, and having my son here. As a redshirt sophomore, he transferred in from Texas A&M. Having him here makes all the difference in the world. So it's been a fast and furious a couple of months, but, you know, right now there's not enough time in the day to get done what we need to get done, so we're just trying to prioritize it and recruit, coach our team, help our players get better, and just enjoy the ride.
Well, my final question for you is, you just mentioned Avery Johnson Jr. transfers to the University of Alabama. So is every day, is it like Father's Day for you? I mean, how unique and special is that to have the opportunity to coach your son on the collegiate level? That's incredible, Avery.
Yes, an incredible opportunity. I didn't force him to join me. He did it all on his own, and he's been great. He's getting better, like all of our guys, and he's worked hard. He doesn't take any shortcuts. He doesn't ask for any special treatment. So it's good to watch his own son as one of the players on the team grow up and mature, and that's what we want.
Avery Johnson has been with us right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Be sure and check him out on Sunday as the Crimson Tide are headed to Greenville, South Carolina to face the Clemson Tigers. Is that a nationally televised game?
Yeah, it's on ESPN3.
Okay, very good.
ESPNU. Okay. Yeah, nationally televised.
Very good. We will check it out. Thank you so much. Continued success, Avery.
Thanks a lot, and roll tide and buckle up.
Amen. All right, much more straight ahead right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As a reminder, to listen to the show on the go, just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store, and you can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. And as always, connect with us. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports, and you can email the show at Alyssa@yahoosportsradio.com. Boy, it's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up with our very own Andy Pondillo. A lot of things have been taking place in the offseason with our MLB news and notes. Good evening, Andy.
Oh, well, it's definitely been interesting. Winter meetings have come and gone, so now we see what the teams have. You know, they've gotten a lot of deals done, but there's still a lot of deals to be made, so it's interesting to see where we go from here.
Well, the biggest deal so far, what, is the Red Sox. David Price, what a highlight. I mean, you're talking, what, $200 million for a guy? Is he worth it?
I mean, the regular season numbers, they speak pretty loudly. I mean, this guy's probably going to be in the Cy Young race the next few years. They're going to get, I would imagine, 3 to 4 years where he's a top-five pitcher in the American League. But, you know, the big concern about him is you're going to pay $200-plus million for a guy that struggled mightily in postseason play. Ever since the first year he pitched in postseason play, he really hasn't been that quality of a pitcher. And when I pay $200 million, when I go all out for this ace pitcher, I want to know I'm going to have that type of guy that's going to be shut down the division series, the ALCS. And I don't know if David Price is that guy, if he's going to get over those demons or not. So I think it's a good signing for the Red Sox, but if I were general manager, I don't know if that's where I would have allocated my money.
Well, that's a big offseason move for the Red Sox, but what other kind of deals are they looking to make?
Well, they've got a bit of an issue over there in Boston with the players they've got tied up in contract. I mean, Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez look like guys that can't be moved. Dave Dombrowski comes in. He's trying to, you know, quickly turn this thing around. He's not a guy that's going to sit and wait to build the farm system. That's going to wait for a process of a bunch of guys playing together to get used to each other. He wants to make these moves now and build something immediate. And the Red Sox, you know, they had good luck doing that 2013 before they had to blow that team up. So can they do it again? I don't really like their offense too much coming into this year. There's some dead weight in there. At the same time, it could be worse. You look at the bullpen, you get Craig Kimbrell at the back end, so now all of a sudden you have a top fleet closer. You do have some arms at the back end of the bullpen, but you also have some old arms in that bullpen and a guy like Koji Uehara. So I feel like this team is better. I feel like they could still make some moves offensively to try and add some depth to that team. Mm-hmm. But are they a really good team? I think they're a little far from that still.
He is back with us, Andy Pondillo, with our MLB news and notes. As he was talking about, the winter meetings are over. Some movement has been taking place. And tell us about the Diamondbacks. I mean, were you shocked by the signing of Greinke at over $34 million per season?
Yeah, that was a bit absurd. But you know what? Hey, the Diamondbacks, they're in an interesting position. They have the best hitter in all of the National League, and Paul Goldschmidt. And that's a guy that changes the game for you. If you get in a pennant race, this is the type of guy that's going to win you games. And A.J. Pollock at the top of the order. They have a very top-heavy team. They add to that, and it is that Greinke, quite possibly a 1, 2, or 3 best pitcher in all the National League. You add Shelby Miller via trade. All of a sudden, this team, I don't know if they're the deepest team in the National League West, but right now, they're going to be the sexiest pick in the National League West. I imagine there's going to be analysts who are going to take the Diamondbacks over the Dodgers this year. I like what they've done. I feel like there's still more moves to be made. If you start going down this path in the Diamondbacks, you're starting to trade these resources for Shelby Miller. You give away your number one overall pick in Dansby Swanson. You've got to go all in at this point. I would look for them to try and get another big free agent bat and just say they're going for it for these next 2 or 3 years.
Okay, the Red Sox, the Diamondbacks. Talk to me about the Astros, because haven't they had their hands a little bit into everything, and they finally made that deal acquiring Phillies closer in Ken Giles?
Yeah, that was a big deal for the Astros. They needed a closer, and sometimes I feel like teams get desperate for relief pitching. That's a bad position to be in. We start trading a bunch of resources for a one-inning guy or a guy that will be on your team for only 2 years and pitching 56 innings a year. But the Astros in this deal, they get a guy who's only 25. They get a guy who's under club control till 2020. So it made sense for them to trade some severe resources for a guy that you know is going to be on your team for a long time. And he was pretty dang good with the Phillies. After they traded Papelbon, they didn't miss a step with Ken Giles. The biggest thing I want to see now is, you know, it's kind of weird to say this, but pitching in Philadelphia, pitching in Houston are two different things right now. There's not a whole lot of pressure in Philadelphia like there used to be. The team's expected to lose. You come in, you save a game, you win a game, you lose a game. It doesn't really matter right now. With Houston, you know, obviously the expectations are going to be really high. And when you're a closer of a competitive team, there's going to be some ups and downs no matter how good you are. How do you bounce back?
Well, it's been a very intriguing offseason. It's such a pleasure to have back with us Andy Pondillo with our MLB news and notes.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.